Now let's continue on with the Feast of Trumpets 2009. Let's go to Isaiah 24. And these chapters are here to show us how absolutely awesome and colossal all of the things are going to be that are pictured by the Day of Trumpets. And of course, a day fulfilled in prophecy can be the specific day itself, but also 1 year in fulfillment. And we are going to see both apply. Both apply in understanding right here. So let's come to Isaiah 24 and let's begin in verse 1. Isaiah 24 and verse 1. Behold, the Lord makes the earth empty and makes it waste and turns it upside down and scatters its inhabitants. Doesn't mean he flips it over from North Pole to South Pole, but everything on the earth is turned upside down. And as it is with the people, so shall it be with the priest. As with the slave, so with the master. As with the handmaid, so with her mistress. As with the buyer, so with the seller. As with the lender, so with the borrower. As with the creditor, so with the debtor. No one's going to be exempt. The earth shall be completely laid waste and utterly stripped. For the Lord has spoken this word. Now we're going to see in just a little bit in the book of Revelation how these things are going to come to pass this way. Verse 4, the earth mourns and languishes. The world withers and languishes. The proud of the people of the earth wither. The earth is defiled under its people because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, and have broken the everlasting covenant. So it all lays, like in the sermon that I gave, who is to blame? It all lays right at the feast of the religious teachers. They're the ones. They have changed the laws. They have changed the ordinance. They have changed and said, oh, well, let's keep the Lord's Day Sunday. That's changing the fourth commandment and cutting them off from God. They're the ones. They have done it. Their philosophies. And then the leaders follow right along with war and mayhem. Yes, they've broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore, the curse has devoured the earth. And they who dwell in it are desolate. Therefore, the people of the earth are burned and few men left. Is it going to be that there will only be 10% of humanity left by time we come back to the earth with Christ and take over the reins of rule of this earth? Don't know. Doesn't tell us. Now let's come down here to verse 16. From the ends of the earth we have heard songs, glory to the righteous. But I said, leanness to me, leanness to me. Deceivers deceive, even treacherously. Deceivers deceive. Dread and the pit and the snare are upon us, upon you, O inhabitant of the earth. And it shall be, he who flees from the sound of dread shall fall into the pit, and he who comes up out of the midst of the pit shall be taken in the snare. For the windows from on high are open and the fountains of the earth shake. Now that's where we saw in the prophecy there in Isaiah 34 that the heavens are rolled back like a scroll, and that fits in with Revelation, the sixth chapter and the sixth seal. Now continuing here in Isaiah 24. The earth is broken, yea, broken down. The earth is crumbling, yea, crumbling to pieces. The earth is tottering, yea, tottering, like the drunkard of the earth is staggering, yea, staggering. And it rocks to and fro like a tree hut. And its transgressions are heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Never again is there going to be a Babylon the Great. Never again is Satan the devil going to rule. Never again are these things going to happen. But it has to end this way, because men will not learn, men will not listen. And stop and think about the end time. How many Bibles are out there today being printed, distributed in great, vast amount? The Word of God is there for them to have, to read, to understand if they would do it. And how much could they avoid of this? I don't know, but God says if there's repentance, He'll honor it. Verse 24, it shall come to pass in that day that the Lord shall punish the host of the high ones that are on of those that are on high, and the kings of the earth upon the earth. Now, the high ones, those are the demons, and the kings of the earth upon the earth, and they shall be gathered as prisoners are gathered in a dungeon, and they shall be shut up in a prison, and after many days they shall be punished. That's exactly what's going to happen to the leaders of this world and to Satan and the demons. They're going to be put back in their prison called the abyss. Then the moon shall be confounded and the sun shall be ashamed, for the Lord of hosts shall reign in Mount Zion in Jerusalem and gloriously before his elders. And that means all of his people. Now, let's come back to the book of Revelation. Now that we've read this, and let's see how it unfolds, with beginning with the trumpet plagues. Now, we've covered this here just recently before, so I'm not going to go into it in great detail. So let's come back to the book of Revelation, and let's come to Revelation, the 8th chapter, and let's see this day of the Lord as 1 year from trumpets to trumpets. And of course, then, we have from the 144,000 on Pentecost to the Pentecost of the first resurrection. So we have an overlapping of Pentecost and trumpets. And let's see how this takes place here. First of all, chapter 8, we have the beginning of the trumpet plagues. Do they start on the Feast of Trumpets? It would seem that that's probably when they would start. Now, the seven angels are the ones who sound these trumpets, and it is war against the earth, against men, against the religionists, against all nations. The only ones who are spared, 144,000, a great innumerable multitude, and those who are in a place of safety. That's it. It's coming upon everyone else. So they sound their trumpets, and now we have a new thing taking place. The angels of God fighting against men and the demons and Satan the devil. And you see that everything that we read there about what happens to the earth being burned up, what happens to the sun and the moon and the stars not shining? The first four of these trumpet plagues carry all of that out. But the last three of the trumpet plagues are called woes. And in chapter 9, when we see the fifth angel sound his trumpet. And then the abyss is opened up by an angel who has a key to the abyss. And the king over the abyss is Satan the devil, who is called Apollyon or Abaddon, depending whether it's Greek or Hebrew. And they come out and they bring to the armies of men a secret weapon that is like a scorpion that stings. And in those days when that happens, men will seek death but won't find it. Then we have a tremendous thing take place with the sounding of the sixth seal. So let's read this, because this is something. This ties right in with Joel, the second chapter that I read. Here is an army of 200 million. And as we've seen in sermons leading up to this, before the day of trumpets, the groups of nations including Russia, China, Southeast Asia, India, and Pakistan, Afghanistan, Uzbekistan, all of those nations are together now in an economic group. And that economic group constitutes the kings of the north and the kings of the east. And that's where the army of 200 million is coming from. See, in order for these things to take place, as we see in the book of Revelation, there has got to be a tremendous economic revival among those nations as Israel comes down. And then this will give them the ability to make the weapons, to develop their armies, and to have the army of 200 million. Now, it's not going to be all in one place at one time. It's going to be strung out from the river Euphrates all the way back to the east. When they come to the river Euphrates, they're going to stop right there until an event happens. And so these armies will be strung out and go all the way back. And even some of the armies will not come and fight on the day of the Lord in Jerusalem or the Holy Land, but those of Gog and Magog are going to come again after the millennium has been already in action for about 7 years. Because as we will see with the Feast of Tabernacles, that Christ has to rebuke strong nations afar off and force them to beat their implements of war into plowshares and pruning hooks. And he has to judge them. And part of those armies are going to be reserved for Ezekiel 38 and 39 of Gog and Magog. So this is a tremendous thing, brethren. So don't think that there's going to be 200 million in one place. But it's going to be strung out. So let's read it here. Chapter 9, verse 12. The first woe is past then, which is the fifth trumpet. Behold, after these things, two more woes are still to come. And the sixth angel sounded his trumpet. And I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar that is before God. And it said to the sixth angel that had the trumpet, loose the four angels that are bound in the great river Euphrates. So they've been there, waiting for this moment and this time, it says. Then the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were loosed, so that they might kill a third of men. Now remember, already a fourth part of men have been killed. Now here's a third part of men. That's not talking about what were killed with the second woe. Though for a while it was with, you know, the sting of scorpions, and they didn't die. And the number of the armies of the horsemen was 200,000, that's 200 million. Never has there been an army that great. And he says, and I heard the number of them. Then it talks about the fierceness of them. It talks about, in descriptive language, the kind of awesome weapons that they will have. Now I want you to tie this together with Joel, the second chapter, that this is the army of God, and it's coming to punish the world, and it's also being gathered in the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of decision, for the final battle against Christ and the saints. So this is a continuous movement that takes place. Verse 17, and I saw the horses in division, and those sitting on them who had fiery breastplates like that of Jasoneth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were like the heads of lions. And fire and smoke and brimstone shoot out of their mouths. Have you ever seen the fiery dragon or the fiery lion from the east? You can almost see the pictures of it from, you know, Chinese wall paintings and so forth. Verse 18, by these a third of men were killed by the fire and the smoke and the brimstone that shoot out of their mouths. For their power is in their mouths, for their tails are like serpents and have heads, and with them they inflict wounds. So this is really awesome war-making machines. Of course, remember, there are demons with them. There are demons in men, fighting demons in men, fighting the angels of God. But notice why this happens. Verse 20, but the rest of the men who were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the works of their hands, that they might not worship demons and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and wood, which do not have the power to see nor to hear nor to walk. And they did not repent of their murderers, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornications, nor of their thieveries. You see, because just exactly as God dealt with Pharaoh in Egypt when he was getting the children of Israel ready to take out of Egypt, what happened? Pharaoh hardened his heart because he didn't repent. Given an opportunity to repent, but don't repent, so God hardens the heart. That's going to happen here on a mass scale. They're not going to repent. They are going to be absolutely, if I could use the expression, hell-bent to come to the valley of Jehoshaphat and fight against this great sea of glass that is up in the clouds where Christ and all the resurrected saints will be. So then we have the next thing to happen, which then are the seven thunders. Now, we are told that John was not to write what the seven thunders would be. So no one knows what they are. And I saw a stupid interpretation of a man who's supposed to be one of the two witnesses, and his wife is the second one, and that's been about 2 years already that this has been. And he says he knows what the seven thunders are. What does he say they are? He says they're the six seals. How could that be? They're different. And yet people like lemmings follow such stupidity. It's amazing. Okay. Now notice. He was told, verse 4, seal what the seven thunders spoke and do not write them. Then the angel whom I had seen standing on the sea and on the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him who lives into the ages of eternity, who created heaven and the things in it, and the earth and the things in it, and the sea and the things in it, there shall be no more delay. Now we're coming down to the very last thing. There's going to be one last push of prophecy to be spoken, as we find here in the last part of Revelation 10, where John took the little book and ate it, and he was told, go preach. So that must be one of the messages going from the two witnesses. Then we come to Revelation 11. And now, what I want you to do is this. I want you to see how much takes place after the seventh or last trump is sounded, before we come back to the earth. Now, I've already covered that during Pentecost, so I'll just briefly review it here so we can come to see how the seven last plagues are going to be poured out, because that's going to happen from Pentecost to trumpets. And then we come back to the earth. Now, after they finish their witness, let's pick it up here. Verse 7, when the two witnesses, when they have completed their testimony, the beast who ascends out of the abyss will make war against them and will overcome them and will kill them. Now, God does this lots of times to let Satan think that he wins. He thought he won when Christ was crucified, but he was resurrected from the dead. So likewise, he's going to take, Now we can win. Right here at the last minute, we can have a victory. We have killed them. So what do they do? Verse 8. And their bodies will lie in the street of the great city, which is spiritually called Sodom and Egypt, where also our Lord was crucified. That's what God thinks of Jerusalem today. Then those of the peoples and tribes and languages and nations shall see their bodies 3.5 days, for they will not allow their bodies to be put into tombs. So this shows there's still going to be some kind of worldwide network of television and cell phone operation. So when God shakes the earth and so forth, he's probably going to leave intact a lot of these satellites that are out there for this very specific purpose. Now notice what they do. After all that has happened, all the wars, all the fighting, finally, here's a little respite. Here's a time where we can all get together and celebrate how wonderful it is. Now we can stop this thing. The two witnesses are dead. We finally got them. And those who dwell on the earth will rejoice over them and make merry and send gifts to one another, because these two prophets had tormented those who dwell on the earth. Then after 3.5 days, the Spirit of life from God entered into them and they stood on their feet. Now what a sight that is going to be. And great fear fell upon those who were watching them. That is the whole world. And those who were right there in Jerusalem. What is this? How can it be? Are you sure they were dead? Yes, we verified they were dead. But look, they're alive. They're standing up. What it really is, it is the last two who were martyred are the first two who are resurrected. Notice. And I heard a great voice from heaven saying, come up here. And they ascended into heaven in a cloud, and their enemies saw them rise. We'll see. They'll be changed at the last trump. So if they go up there and they're still in the flesh on their way up there, that shows that the sea of glass where Christ and the saints are is in the part of the atmosphere where there's still enough oxygen for them to live. So the last trumpet sounds just right here. But notice what happens when that takes place. And then in that hour there was a great earthquake, a tenth of the city fell, 7,000 men were killed in the earthquake, and the rest were filled with fear and gave glory to the God of heaven. The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming immediately. So right when they're on their way up into heaven, now there are probably angels taking them up that the world couldn't see. The seventh trump is sounded. The last trump. This is on Pentecost. Verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign into the ages of eternity. And the 24 elders who sit before God on their thrones fell on their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give you thanks, O Lord God Almighty, who is and who was and who is to come, for you have taken to yourself your great power and have reigned, and the nations were angry, and your wrath has come, and the time of the dead to be judged, and to give reward to your servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and to all those who fear your name, the small and the great, and to destroy those who destroy the earth. Hasn't yet happened. He hasn't destroyed them, see. Because we're going to see how the events unfold and how from the sea of glass where also the throne of God is. Now this also tells us that the throne of God is a whole lot closer to the earth at this time than we have supposed that the throne of God would be. But nevertheless, The resurrection takes place. And I suspect that the whole world's going to see that, and they're going to wonder, what on earth is this? Is it happening? Look at all these people are body snatchers. Now, how many are going to be resurrected? We don't know. But let's come here to Revelation 14. Revelation 14. We're going to see the two harvests. The harvest of the righteous at Pentecost and the harvest of the wicked right after that to the seven last plagues and then the Feast of Trumpets when we come back to the earth. All right, let's read it. Verse 14, Revelation 14. And I looked, and behold, a white cloud, and one like the Son of Man sitting on the cloud, having a golden crown on his head, and in his hand was a sharp sickle. This is the harvest of the righteous. And another angel came out of the temple, crying with a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, thrust in your sickle and reap, for the time has come for you to reap, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. And he who was sitting on the cloud thrust forth his sickle upon the earth, and the earth was reaped. So that happens right at the trumpet is blown, and then this happens, and the dead are raised. Now then, there's another angel. Because after the resurrection, and those who are righteous are on the sea of glass, there is another harvest to come. Let's come here to Revelation 15 for just a minute, and then we'll come back to Revelation 14 and look at that second harvest. Now, Revelation 15, we'll just repeat this again because this is such a great thing that's going to take place. We're all resurrected. The angels carry us up to the sea of glass to meet Christ, to meet all the saints, and there we'll probably see God the Father. Why not? We'll be spirit beings. We can. After all, we're his children, are we not? Yes, indeed. Revelation 15, verse 1. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and awesome, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is filled up. Now, we'll see that in just a minute. But first, and I saw a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who had gotten the victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having the lyres of God. So there we are. That's exactly what's going to take place. Singing the song of Moses, servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and awesome are your works, Lord God Almighty, righteous and true are your ways, King of saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you only are holy, and all the nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been revealed. Now, let's go back to Revelation 14. And let's read about the other harvest, the harvest of the wicked. Verse 17. Then another angel, who also had a sharp sickle, came out of the temple that is in heaven. And out from the altar came another angel who had authority over fire, and he called with a loud voice to the one who had the sharp sickle, saying, thrust in your sickle, gather the clusters of the earth, because her grapes are fully ripe. Now these are the wicked being drawn to the valley of Jehoshaphat, the valley of decisions, where there will be blood which will flow as deep as a horse's bridle. And the angel thrust his sickle into the earth and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. And the winepress was trodden outside the city, and the blood spewed out from the winepress as high as the horse's bridle at a distance of 1,600 furlongs. Mammoth. Now, let's see how that's going to happen. Revelation 15 and verse 5. And after these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And the seven angels who had the seven last plagues came out of the temple. They were clothed in linen, pure and bright, and girt about the chest with golden breastplates. And one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden vials full of the wrath of God who lives into the ages of eternity. And the temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter inside the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were fulfilled. Now, chapter 16. Here is how God deals with the world. Remember, he has a controversy with the nations. He's going to gather them all to the Holy Land. He is going to judge them. And here is the judgment that is coming. And this happens from the time after the resurrection of the saints on Pentecost until Revelation 19, when on that trumpets we come back to the earth. Then I heard a loud voice from the temple say to the seven angels, go and pour out the vials of the wrath of God unto the earth. So the first went out and poured his. And a grievous sore came upon the men who had the mark of the beast, on those who worshipped his image. God is letting it be known. You will not mock God. You will not serve Satan the devil. You will not do these things and despise me, who is the creator of heaven and earth and all of mankind. The second angel went, poured his vial out into the sea, and it became blood like that of a dead man, and every living soul died in the sea. God is going to wipe this earth clean of all the sins of men. And the third angel poured out his vial upon the rivers and into the fountains of the waters, and they became blood. Now notice how the angels view this, because they've seen what men have done through all the years and the killings and the wars and everything like that. Verse 5, then I heard the angel of the waters say, you are righteous, O Lord, who are and who was, even the Holy One, in that you have executed this judgment. For they have poured out the blood of the saints and of prophets. And you have given them blood to drink, for they are worthy. And I heard another voice from the altar say, yes, Lord God Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. And the fourth angel poured out his vial upon the sun, and power was given to it to scorch men with fire. And men were scorched with great heat. All of a sudden, it's just like a firestorm coming from the sun, and the temperature rises greatly and scorches men. Just a big blast coming. And they blaspheme the name of God. See, no repentance. Who has authority over these plagues? And they did not repent to give him glory. The fifth angel poured out his vial upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became full of darkness. And they gnawed their tongues because of the pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores. Yet they did not repent of their works. And a sixth angel poured out his vial into the great river Euphrates, and its waters were dried up. So the Euphrates began to flow again, and now it has to be dried up again, so that the way of the kings from the rising of the sun might be prepared, because those armies are still strung out all the way to the east. Now, in order to convince them to do this, this looks like kind of a little respite. Then I saw three unclean spirits like frogs come out of the mouth of the dragon, Satan, out of the mouth of the beast, the Antichrist, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. For they are spirits of demons working miracles, going forth to the kings of the earth, even of the whole world, to gather them together to the battle of that great day of God, of Almighty God. So here comes the last battle that's going to be. This is Armageddon. Now notice there's a little warning here, verse 15. Behold, I come as a thief. Blessed is the one who is watching and keeping his garments so that he may not walk naked and that they might not see his shame. Sounds an awful lot like another warning message to the Laodiceans, correct? You see, we are never to let up. We are never to let down, but always go forward with the help and Spirit of God. Verse 16, and he gathered them together to the place that in Hebrew is called Armageddon. That is the sixth angel who sounded the trumpet. Then the seventh, not trumpet, but poured out the sixth vial. Then the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is finished. And then notice, and there were voices and thunders and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake, such as was not since men were on the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great. God is going to shake this earth so many times during the time that he rolls back the heavens as a scroll that this earth is going to be going just like a drunken man, staggering to and fro. And the great city was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell. All of their great skyscrapers, all of their great projects, everything that man has done is going to be destroyed. And we're going to be the ones with Christ to show them what they need to do. Those few who live through it are going to be quite a case to deal with. But at that point, those who remain there, they're going to get the message and repent. Notice, and every island disappeared and no mountains were found. Why? Because they've been all laid low. Like it says there in Isaiah, the 40th chapter. Now, you think about that. Think about what's going to happen to this earth. And great hail, each stone the weight of a talent, 180 pounds, fell down from heaven upon men, and men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague was exceeding great. But even that still doesn't kill them. That doesn't kill all of them. No. Here, chapter 19. Let's see what happens then. After the marriage of the Lamb, we all receive our rewards. We all view the seven last plagues going on the earth from our vantage point up on the sea of glass. We're all organized. Christ tells us what we are to do. We are given our horses. We know how to handle them. And we are now ready to fight because Jesus said, if my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. And, of course, Christ is going to lead the way. Let's pick it up here in verse 11, Revelation 19. So this is the finality of the last feast of trumpets before the beginning of the millennium. Verse 11. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True, and in righteousness does he judge and make war. And his eyes were like a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no one knows except him. And he was clothed in a garment dipped in blood. And his name is the Word of God. Goes right back to John 1:1-3. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the armies in heaven, that's us, probably with a lot of angels too, were following him on white horses, and they were clothed in fine linen, white and pure. That's the righteousness of the saints. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword that with it he might smite the nations. And he shall shepherd them with a rod of iron and tread the winepress of the fury and wrath of Almighty God. That fulfills the last part of Revelation 14, Joel the second chapter, Joel the third chapter, And on his garment and on his thigh he had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Then I saw an angel standing in the sun, as we see on our way down. And he cried out with a loud voice to all the birds that fly in the midst of heaven, Come, gather yourselves together to the supper of the great God, so that you may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of chief captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses and those who sit on them, and the flesh of all, free and bond, small and great. And Zechariah 14 shows that in that day that Jesus comes and puts his feet on the Mount of Olives, and all the saints with him, that weapon that he has is so powerful that it goes, the word goes out of his mouth and the flesh falls right off their skeletons. So here's all the flesh and the blood and all of these human skeletons and guts and all of this just there in one big quivering mess. So God, he's going to clean it up. So he calls for all the birds, all the eagles, all the vultures, all the birds of prey. And they are going around in circles, see, waiting, coming down, looking at this great feast that God has given them. Verse 19, And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to make war with him, the final battle, who sits on the horse and with his army, that's us. And the beast was taken. An angel took him. And with him the false prophet, who worked miracles in his presence, by which he had deceived those who received the mark of the beast and those who worshipped his image. Those two were cast alive into the lake of fire which burns with brimstone. And the rest were killed by the sword of him who sits on the horse, even the sword that goes out of his mouth. And all the birds were filled with their flesh. So that's how the kingdom of God is going to start after the destruction of the kingdom of Satan and men. No more will there be defying against God. No more will there be rebellion against God. This Christ and the saints are going to rule and reign as kings and priests, and we're going to take the pitiful people who suffer through all of this and remain, and they are going to start afresh. And then there will be 1,000 years of peace and prosperity and plenty, but only after Satan is put away. So come back on the Day of Atonement, and we will see the judgment of Satan the devil. Because this is God's judgment against men, God's judgment against the beast and the false prophet, and now God's judgment will come on the Day of Atonement against Satan and the demons. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org. Org.